Oh, hello. Meet Optima Health, your friend for Medicaid coverage. Like any true friend, we can help make life a little easier with discounts on healthy food and gift cards for pregnancy and child checkups. We include vision and medical help 24/7. See more benefits at OptimaMedicaid.com/hello. It's time to say hello to Optima Health, a health plan you can count on.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Not Cool with Sarah Hyland. My guest today, one, it's taken me a long time to get her here.
It's my fault.
No, it's not.
My fault.
It's, you know what? It's life. It's totally fine.
And no, it's my fault.
Flowing with water like it. It's okay.
I know.
She is from my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
She was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
You were just...
Ever heard of him?
Small guy. Hope he makes it.
Yeah.
Bless his heart, he's non-union, so he's continuing to work.
He
and was just on Bert Kreischer's podcast. You're touring. Am I missing anything? My guest today is Miss Catherine Blanford, everybody.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And I, by the way, and I came to know Catherine because very typical Louisville, Kentucky. My cousin Kelsey Hyland. Remember Kelspells?
No, I don't remember Kelsey because, well, I would remember every time I was in contact with her.
Yeah.
Within 30 minutes, I was blackout.
From drinking?
Mm-hmm.
That tracks.
Yes.
So Kelsey, and by the way, if you're not watching, or if you are watching, why I'm wearing a pink, very hot pink Barbie Kentucky State Fair hat and a Kentucky shirt is an ode of our heritage, so that's why this ensemble is happy.
Yeah.
With a little bit of camo, and so Kelsey messaged me and she sent me your Jimmy Fallon stand-up.
She did. Kelsey,
and
she said repping.
She said, do you know her? And I was like, I don't. She's like, she went to Assumption. And so then I was like, damn. So Assumption High School is the all-girl Catholic high school that both of us attended.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we from the same town, we also went to the same high school.
Same background, same education.
Mm-hmm.
Highly intellectual education.
Is it?
Nope. I remember the boys, because I had brothers, and they went to St. X. All
you
boys.
Have two brothers, right?
Yeah, yeah. We would come home and they'd be like, how's finger painting today?
Wow.
Because
from Assumption?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, they would make fun of our high school because they said it was like, it was daycare.
What? By the way, can I just say something though? Real quick, let me give a quick background check on St. X.
Yes.
Okay. Which was very typical Southern Midwesty, like it's private schools that are Catholic for the most part based.
Tons of money. It looks like a small college campus.
Yes.
Like their football fields are, they have like 24-hour maintenance on their football fields.
Yeah.
Like watered and their athletic facilities are top notch. Like they're like, we are living through our 15-year-old son's athletic abilities.
Yeah.
And also we also have a high school here where they go to class.
Yeah.
But the sports is the most important thing.
Well, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing is that it's interesting to me that he said that because Assumption was very, it was like the girl version of St. X. So I'm kind of like, interesting, like, because they have the same jam. So I'm wondering why, which is that he says we finger painted, because I'm like, is that a lesbian thing?
Yeah.
It was all girls.
Yes, it is. Especially Assumption. And, but I will say, I think it was this. Do you remember, I don't know if they were there when you were there. You had, there was a freshman course mandatory and a senior course. Freshman course was something about self-esteem. Do you remember that?
And I remember religious affairs. Does that count?
No. No. It was like woo-woo.
No.
It was about... Freshman year, it was about something about self-esteem. It was a mandatory course you had to take, and it was about like regulating your emotions and relationships and friendships. And then senior year, you had to take, I forget what it was called too, but like you read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, and then you talked about your goals, and you would create like vision boards.
Stop. And
was that, did you do that?
The closest we came to that, Catherine, was in home ec class. Were you there around?
No.
Okay, great. So home ec class was the closest. This is how insane. Okay, I failed home ec, by the way, because I couldn't thread the sewing machine.
Is home ec, is it sewing or is it like biscuit making?
Both.
We didn't have home ec. We had...
I understand. You're a different verge. You're a different generation. Like, because I went to there when literally, if anybody remembers it, it was hell. By a vision board, we had to plan out our wedding. Oh, yeah, girl. This is when we had to carry around babies that weren't actual babies, that had machines in the back of the babies that would tell you, like, are the teacher at the end of the project, because you had to carry around for like a month.
So was the point to teach you that kids are hard?
Yes.
Like, what was the point of carrying around a baby?
Because you're a woman and that's going to be your job.
But like, were the boys carrying around babies?
No. They didn't have home ec either. They had woodshop. You know, it was all very... one of our assignments, I remember going to class, was we had to figure out our colors. Like, what season were we? Were we summer, spring, girl?
Wait, colors is in your tone?
Your tone. We had to hold up, like, swatches of, like, pinks and, like, pastel greens and, like,
I think you figured out yours out, though.
Mine was good. Black.
No, it wasn't.
You don't have no idea how difficult that class. We were making scrunchies. That was our fucking final. Look at me. Do I look like I would make a scrunchie? Like, I could not. No.
But that's why they called it finger painting, is because ours was different, but I think it was like catered to. Very much like all girls school. Like, they didn't let you forget that. You know what I mean? Like, we had graphic design class, but one of our graphic design classes was to take our face and put it on a celebrity's face and to, like, mold it into it till it fit. And, like, and they based it off of how well you did.
But you're still okay being you, but not really. Yeah. So if, like, you could kind of look like a celebrity, be better.
They're like, if you're going to be Sandra Bullock, you better put enough fillers in your face to be Sandra Bullock.
Oh, my God.
But I think, okay, this must have changed because mine was very, you all went on retreats every year?
We did.
Write letters?
We did. That has not changed. That's very much a part of the, like, religious aspect of it.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a religious thing. I thought it was more like, did you guys cry on retreat?
We cried a lot. There was a lot of crying. And then I would make fun of people crying because I have my own detachment issues.
Yeah, I was
connected.
I was around my friends that were like, "Don't cry, you big old baby," and I'm like, "No, I'm not crying. I'm not crying at all. I hate this. It's so stupid."
Yeah.
But we had something called feminine spirituality. Did you have that?
No. That the retreat, or is that something different?
No, I think it was sophomore year or junior year. I can't remember this teacher's name, but like, there was rumors like she used to be a stripper. She had like shorter gray hair.
And she was a stripper?
They said she used to be. Now she's like real. Almost a nun, but she was like, no, this was my first like glimpse into like extreme feminist. Like, she went all in. She was like, the reason why you don't hear about women in the Bible and the reason the patriarchy has existed is because back in the day, women did have more power because they were the ones that could have babies. And so they would have babies with multiple men, and then their children provided the men with work on the farms and the lands. But then men realized that if they controlled the women, then they could produce as many farm hands as they needed necessary to grow their land and profit from their land. So she was like, this is like this is how I remember it, paraphrasing.
Yep.
And she was like, that's why, like, back in the day, they started to realize, like, the less power they gave women, the more they could control and then have, and then control how many children they had to work on their land and da-da-da-da this and all and this. And it was like, I don't think my parents know you're saying this, but it's rad. Like, I think it went, it did, like, a full, like, flip-flop, like, 180.
What, by the time that you got around to, like, the...
Yes.
Like, it hacks you.
Yeah.
I am telling you, that is not... No, we did no, none of that. We, the biggest discussion we had ever was in, like, yeah, like I said, religious affairs.
Yes.
And I would always have my hand raised because I never understood, because they would talk about the Bible. I was like, yo, I have a question. They're like, yeah, Sarah, God, what? And yeah. I was like, well, I just don't understand. If God was so great, why didn't he come down himself? Like, why did he send his son? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Why didn't he send a daughter?
I went in. Like, I just never could grasp my, I just never wrapped my head around it. I was like, if this dude's so amazing, like, why don't, let's see what his, show his fucking mug. Yeah. Let's do it.
What, dude, we had people, I mean, wait, there was still like the, did you guys have mass?
Mass?
In school?
No.
Okay, yeah, we didn't either. Ours,
you guys went to church?
No. Okay. No, we had church in the gym, but it was never a communion or anything.
Yeah, okay.
I think it, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it was like my, it was a lot more a shift in like, we are building up women's confidence and self-esteem and their sense of worth less than it was about religion.
I think that's awesome. And for the record, let me just say this. Like, Assumption High School, if you're listening.
I loved it.
I love Assumption High School. Yes. I really do, because I will tell you this. It is the first time that there were no cliques. There was no hierarchy. Yeah. There were, of course, like the hot girls, the party girls, the jocks, the nerds. Like, of course. But everybody got along. Like, there wasn't a bullying situation ever.
Yeah. I think it was like, yeah, you would have, like, the nerds, and then and you got your anime girls, and then your jocks, and whatever else. But I've always been, like, I felt blessed that I got to do it, because I think, like, you, there was some kind of, because, like, there wasn't boys there,
mm-hmm.
So it was less about who's impressing who, and it was just about, like, who you found that you enjoyed being around.
Yeah.
Instead of being, like, who's impressing, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't wear makeup.
None.
I still, to this day, don't shave
my
legs ever. Okay. Or anything, really.
You can do it, yeah.
If I got a ketchup stain on my shirt Monday, it was the same stain on my shirt on Friday. Like, I would just pick up my clothes off the floor and wear the same clothes every day, because it didn't matter what you looked like. And it was, and the people that, like that's where, like, I stood out, because I was like, oh, if I'm the funniest one in the cafeteria, then I'm free. I'm queen of the cafeteria for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, like, about, you know, being the hottest or whatever else. So it was like, I don't know, you just learned how to have a personality.
I agree. It's 1,000%. And in fact, not only did we not wear makeup, and the hot girls always wear makeup, and I can name them, but they know who they are.
It was like if you wore makeup then, it was like, who are you trying to impress?
Girl, trust me. Yeah. My peeps who I hung out with had zit cream.
Yes.
On your face still, brushing your teeth was optional before coming to school. Like, the top bun, like, the messy top bun. Like, the people that, you know, were stapling their skirts up shorter.
Why?
I don't know, because it was, I can think they met, like, their boyfriends after school in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So I think it was for them. But, and let me ask you this, because they had this when I was at Assumption. Which was like every year they would have like class turkey, like every Thanksgiving they would have like class turkey. Did you ever get that? Did you do that? You didn't?
Oh, we'd have class turkey?
Yeah, girl. Like for the funny, yeah, if you were a funny person, you were voted by your class and you were the class turkey and you wore a turkey hat all day.
No, I'd be pissed if somebody got class turkey and I didn't, though.
I loved it. I got class turkey.
You got it?
Yeah, it was either me or Kyle Baca who always got it. Yeah. Like, we kind of, like, flip-flopped all the time. But then when you graduated, did they have, like, the whole, like, most likely to succeed, most talented?
Yes, we, yes.
Funny. Did they have that?
Yes. It was yearbook, and I was on yearbook, so... Yes, I got most school spirit.
You did?
Yes, and I might have given myself a bigger write-up than even, like, the most likely to succeed. It doesn't matter. That was another lesson in life, that everything is rigged. And if you get, if you want something, you have to get behind the scenes and rig it yourself.
Yeah, just buy the yearbook, and then you actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got voted most talented.
You did?
Yeah, but I was upset because it doesn't matter. That's what I mean. I got upset because I wasn't the most humorous. I was like, God, fuck. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be the most likely to succeed or the most changed. Like, I knew I was like.
Do you remember who did?
Yeah.
And what are they doing now?
Most changed, she's a mom. And her son actually has autism. She's the sweetest person, and she does a lot of help in the community in Louisville, as a matter of fact. She's the sweetest person. I still talk to her.
Happy for her.
Yeah.
Glad you are, too.
I am, because she was a good fucking person. That's the thing. Like, for the most part, everybody that I know from high school, for the most part, like, they're all decent people. So it's like, if I run into them.
Yeah.
Like, it's, again, very typical, like, a lot of my high school friends all still hang out together.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mine, too.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If they stayed.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And I still have, I'm actually really tight with, like, two of my friends who went away. Because I think we're, like, still close, but we get the side that didn't stay in Louisville and do the Louisville path like everybody else did. Louisville is, I think, the biggest small town. In the country.
It is. Louisville, like, listen, I'm very proud of my home. Like, I love Louisville. Yeah. I do. I go back often. My whole family is still there. But I guess, like, but let me ask you this, because I know how I was growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, and how it was when I hit 18, what my, like, ambitions were. So I guess when you say people did, like, the Louisville route.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? And I know what you mean, but what do you mean by that? And why did you take the route that you took?
Yeah. Okay. It's like, well, I guess I'm not shitting on it.
I understand.
But I am like, from an outside perspective now, I'm like, I'm just grateful I didn't take that path because I appreciate how I'm living and experiencing things. Louisville route is just very, like, you, high school is your bubble, and then you go to UK or UofL, and then you meet your spouse there, and then you graduate, and you get a little house, and then at 23, you get married, and at 26, you have your first kid, and then you have your third or fourth kid by 32, and you've joined the country club.
Okay, she's not wrong so far.
And you, I'm what?
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. And then you guys are all kind of worrying because you don't know which parish to send your kids to. And then your kids go to that parish, and then they go to Assumption or Sacred Heart, and then the circle continues. And then it's like, but you're 32 and you still have the drama from high school. You know, not like drama, but you're like, the things that people did in high school and the cliques and stuff that happened still lingers into your young adulthood. And your worldview is like politics at the various different country clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but there's also, like, you know, there's like war and drought and famine in other places. And they're like, what do you mean, downtown Louisville? And you're like, well, yeah, that, but also beyond that. And there's just this very, it's literally like it's like Pleasantville.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a bubble. And your world is not. You don't see beyond it. They're good people, but I had an older brother, 2 years older, and he went to UK, and so by the time he was a No, I was like a senior in high school. I was going down there every weekend already, like staying at his apartment and going out. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. Yeah. I already feel like I have a reputation at a college. I'm still in high school. And so I like found some scholarship where I could get in-state at South Carolina. And I just dipped. Okay. And then didn't go back since. I love it. It's just very limited.
So did you go to school? You went to school in South Carolina then?
Yeah. I went to college at University of South Carolina.
Is that Gamecock? Is that bad? Wrong.
Roosters. That's right.
They're Gamecock?
Yeah.
Okay, I know that because I have a niece and a nephew that both go there.
From Louisville? There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a very, this is what's funny is because you're saying like you went to UK and you saw like these frat parties. You're like, I can't.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm going to head to South Carolina, which is literally where everybody from Louisville goes that doesn't go to UK or U of
A. I think it happened. I know it was only a few people that did it when I did it. And then I think everybody figured out what I figured out.
Yeah.
There's like a couple loopholes that you can get in-state tuition if you go there.
But like, let me ask this though. Okay. Because isn't it the same when you went there? Because the culture is the same. Like it's still frat and sorority.
Still frat sorority. And it's like, the Greenville. It was like Greenville was their Louisville.
Yeah.
Like all the kids from Greenville or Spartanburg. And like, but it was fun to be from the outside there and just be like, oh, all the stuff that you guys care about, I really couldn't give much of a hoot about.
Right.
Yeah.
But did you graduate from there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's the thing. Like, so what, like, because I'm always like, how did you, Catherine, how did you become a stand-up? Like, how did you get here? Like, because I know where you've been, and there's got to be something wrong in a way of, like, there has to be a shift in you that, or, like, something that was always brewing in you to get out and to do something different. I guess that's the thing. It's like, when did that hit?
Yeah, well, it was probably... Like, okay, so I guess I was kind of always in it, right? It was like Louisville's still kind of like the fratty, mm-hmm. whatever, and like just kind of that. And then I went to South Carolina and I was in a sorority, but I just never, both my parents were tobacco farmers.
Like legitimate tobacco?
I just got back from Bardstown from my grandma's funeral. Lived a great life, great day, beautiful day. But my dad was one of 10 kids. Like, their life was dairy, beef, and tobacco mm-hmm. was their family business. And my mom grew up on a tobacco farm and had brothers. And, like, I did not come from an elite family or whatever. Mm-hmm. We, like, grew up, my brothers, like, grew up in, we would hang out in creeks and whatever else. But I was, like, hanging out with kids who had, like, you know, family money mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I never, my parents were like, we're not going to get you that stuff. So I never, like, felt like I fit in. And I never was interested in fitting in with kind of the elitist mm-hmm. of that. But I was just always kind of amongst it. And then I went to South Carolina. And there's, like, more money. You know, like, people with, like, old Southern money. Like,
it's so crazy. That's where you went.
Kids driving around in, like, brand new Tahoes. And yeah. I'm, like, you know, I'm grateful for what I have. I'm, like, in my old... you know, 1994 Mazda, whatever. I have a freaking car. I thought I was queen of the world. Yeah. But I think I was always amongst kind of like children who grew up with money, mm-hmm. but was never had any and like figured out a way to fit in because I had a personality. But I always felt like I was in the background, like you guys are, it's kind of dumb. I mean, it's not dumb, but you know, I'm not buying into like a lot of the stuff that they really cared about that I think I always felt like a fish out of water in that world. And so I finally, I was in college and like did a sorority event or fraternity event. And there was like a talent show and I dressed up like Chelsea Handler and I did a monologue like for Chelsea Lately and roasted a bunch of frat guys and like I won. And so it was always in the back of my head that stand up comedy. I think I just tried it. And so I was in Atlanta and I,
why'd you go to Atlanta?
I was working for, a venue management company. So we did PGA, and then I was down in Orlando working for the Amway, the arena for the Orlando Magic.
Okay.
And then I came up to Atlanta for a small, small venue. And, like, a little bit outside of Atlanta. And then, so I was there, and I, like, just took a comedy class. And I was like, oh, this is, I don't, it was, like, the first thing I was like, oh, I'm not, I don't, like, I like this, and I don't feel like I'm, like, I don't feel like I'm, like, trying to, like, keep up with the Joneses with mm-hmm. this. I felt like everything else in my life was like, I have to get the job, and I'm around the guys who have finance degrees, and I have to be around the girls who are in marketing until they get married, and then they have kids, and they don't have to work anymore. And I just never, like, I never felt like I fit in with that lifestyle. And so, that, yeah, I found, and I was like, oh, I like this. And I felt like I was amongst people in comedy that were all of a sudden not like that.
Yeah.
You know, just like every people from all walks of life. And I was like, oh, this is so much more. This is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I never had that, like going from like Louisville to South Carolina. And so I just like got hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bought a bunch of jumpsuits.
Jumpsuits. I can. They're your thing. Mm-hmm. Did people always tell you that you were funny, though? Like even in like grade school, high school.
Yeah.
Did people, your family.
Yeah.
Because there has. Yeah, right. Because nobody just goes to a comedy. Not really, unless there's been like a, you know, a pellet thrown in there that you're like, oh, okay, maybe I'm funny. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I very much felt like that. I did feel like when I started, I think it was more insecurity of me, people like rolling their eyes and being like, oh, that's the like young girl who just like no one's like, we're not going to, whatever she's, I always felt like they were going to be like, oh, she has like dumb girl opinions or dumb girl things she's gonna talk about.
The audience? You thought the audience?
Even like comics. Okay. Did you ever feel like that?
Well, here's this. I got my start. I mean, I went to the Art Institute of Chicago, but from there, because somebody told me to go to Second City.
Yeah.
So my start was actually one at Assumption at all the talent shows because I always played. I mean, that's where I first started doing anything was at Assumption High School. Because they're like, Sarah, can you play this character in our senior skit? And I was like, okay. You know, so I'd always do that. But then I actually, before stand-up, I did Second City in Chicago. Yeah. So it was all improv. And you can still do it. You're not even 30. You could do it. So, but that was the thing, I think. And again, I read what you're talking about from Kentucky to South Carolina to, I mean, you hit all the Southeast. Like, it's either, especially the Carolinas, it's either debutante or trash.
Yes. right.
Not a lot in between.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's hard if you grow up there and you don't feel like you're watching everybody else live with the land, like, at the, you know, Land Rovers or, you know, they're talking about going into their dad's law firm. You're like, what the
Yes.
So
I felt like I was trash trying to fit in with debutantes all the time.
Yes. I totally understand. Even though, because we came from like, it was middle class. It wasn't anything crazy. But like, I do remember in high school when like the girls with money, they started getting cars at 16.
Yeah. Like,
you know, I had to drive my mom's car like for forever, and it was a stick, and she made me, you know, learn it. So badass. I took my driver's test on a stick. The fuck?
Dude, there's people, the person you're taking a test with probably doesn't even know how to drive stick.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But I remember the parallel parking. I don't even remember. I think I passed. But like, but that's, you know, her mom was a farmer. So it's kind of like, it's cool because there's this utilitarian thing about women. There's either, like I said, the debutante women or like farmers.
Yes.
So my mom, I grew up in the class of farmers because that's how my mom was raised. And that's how she, you know, raised us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's, you know, I'm always so... Because it is so the majority of people from our area, for the most part, and again, not in a bad way, do tend to stay and, you know, work within a lot of times their families or whatever. When you went into class and you saw the stand-ups, you're like, they're going to hate me. They're going to think I'm the young, dumb girl or whatever. Oh. So, like, from that moment on when you did class, like, when did it start to become like an actual thing. You're like, oh, I'm good at this.
For years, it was just I don't even know why I forgot to say this. I like had this like this moment. My mom was sick. No, my mom passed. I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like I'd always fallen this path, right? That I was always like, all right, I guess I'll do this and hang out with these people, whatever. And I was 22 and I was in Atlanta. My mom passed away. All of a sudden, she, like a year after getting diagnosed with lung cancer, I was 22 years old. It was like, what just happened? And I think 6 months later, I took that stand-up class and I just kind of became addicted to it. Mm. And so I like went to an open mic and I was so bad. It was so freaking bad.
You remember
bad.
Your jokes, one of them?
Uh-huh.
They're usually, the worst one's usually memorable. I understand.
Yeah, what was mine about? There was something about Prince. I had some, like, pun. I had some Prince pun about doves crying.
Sure thing.
And, oh, man, what was the other one? Oh, I said, dude, this was so bad. And I probably did it for like a year or two. I said, when we're teaching kids about naughty things, we try and make it, we double the word to make it kind of silly so it doesn't seem so bad. You know, like I'm like, I said something like, you know, we're like poo poo, pee pee, your credit card debt. Ah, that was my joke. And
you crushed.
It's so dumb. And I probably did it for a year. I was like, this is my closer, credit card debt.
And big.
Right. So dumb.
So you bombed for a little while.
I bombed for so long, but I just was like, this is so much more fun than like than what I was doing. Than like I don't know. I just was obsessed with the world and like I would love to just go and watch other comics and be like, dude, you are so fun. I never saw myself where I am today, and I never thought I'd become a professional at it. I was just like enthralled with the world and like people that weren't like anybody I'd ever hung out with.
Yeah.
And I just went out. I probably just started doing open mics every single night and like going to the late night bars. And then slowly you'd start getting like on book shows in Atlanta, and it just was like a snowball.
Yeah.
And I think I started, my bits I finally started working is when I started to talk about my mom, and about my first bit was about how I had such difficulty dressing her for the casket because she had all these nice clothes that she never let me wear.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm not going to get rid of one of them now.
Yeah.
And so I like couldn't, I was like, I had a hard time like deciding which clothes to part with because, you know, if it was a cute one, I wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
It was very dark.
But is that like, that's what I mean though. Is it, cause how long, one, being a stand up myself, and also having a mom who passed from cancer very fast, quickly. But, you know, I think it takes a lot of comics, in my experience, a long time to get to that, to the real stuff where it's dark. It is fucking dark. Yeah. Like, it's, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, but that's what people, in my experience, have that they connect to.
Yeah.
And so how long did it take you to get from doing Prince jokes and credit card debt jokes to doing, like, you know, stuff with your mom?
Probably about a year in. Yeah. I remember the open mic. I remember going to it and it, like, oh my God, it was such a surreal moment. I remember I'm standing there. It was an open mic, but it was in this dark basement. I was like a year in. I'm sure all these comics were like, there's this girl just hanging around doing open mics. She'll probably drop eventually. And I'm like, you have no idea how much I am obsessed with you guys. And I know none of you guys think I'm cool at all. But, and it was real dark. And I remember it was just like, it was like a bright light on me like that. And I couldn't really see anybody in there. And I was like, I think I wrote this thing about like dressing my mom for the casket. And I said something. And it was like, I don't cry a lot, but I had this like very emotional moment right before I said like the actual punchline. And I don't know if I have such stage fright. Like my first 2 years was just learning how to just be on stage in mm-hmm. front of people, because I was never a performer before that. And I remember, like, very emotional, like, it was just like a moment inside my brain, like, is this nerves or am I talking about my mom in front of people all of a sudden? And then I said the punchline, and it was like the first, like, big laugh I got in open mic, and I was like, oh shit,
yeah,
that's it. And then I remember like working on that bit, and it like kept building and building and building, and I think that was the first thing that clicked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's a good story. I mean, I guess so. From then on, was that like the click for you that you're like, oh, well, this is it. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This is, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep, no matter what I have to do. And did you ever have to work 17 jobs before that?
I nannied for 8 years for one family. I mean, I was in my 30s nannying and watching my friends like excel in their careers. And I'm like, you remember when you started babysitting at 12? Still doing it. Just with the idea, because the family was so flexible that, you know, if I was like, I gotta leave on Friday for a show, they'd be like, okay, we'll figure it out, go. And but I mean, it was it, I at one point I would be at the house for 10 hours a day with three kids, like dog ass exhausted. And then we'd go to open mics at night. And but I was like, this is, I don't know, I just was like, I had no other, there was no other career I was interested in. So I was like, a nannying is the answer during the day, and then I get to do comedy at night. And I still am very surprised that stuff took off like it did. It's,
yeah,
doesn't feel real. But yeah. I just like, it was my only, it wasn't like a, I was, in my head, I was just like, this is the only thing that is fun. I can't imagine anything else. And I just kind of got obsessed with it.
Do you still have stage fright, by the way?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why?
No, because I do.
I watch my Fallon set, and I'm like, good God.
You did okay, so before you go there. So, okay. So from this young girl, I'm going to call you a girl if you don't mind. At that time,
just call me young.
you can call me ma'am. So, because it feels good. So from Atlanta, that was in young Atlanta, ma'am. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So from Atlanta, doing open mics, finally getting your big laugh, to cut two, you're on Jimmy Fallon in mm-hmm. Los Angeles, California. And that was like a year ago?
Oh, hello. Meet Optima Health, your friend for Medicaid coverage. Like any true friend, we can help make life a little easier with discounts on healthy food and gift cards for pregnancy and child checkups. We include vision and medical help 24/7. See more benefits at OptimaMedicaid.com/hello. It's time to say hello to Optima Health, a health plan you can count on.
Yeah, August 3rd.
Yeah. Okay, so how did that happen? Like, what is happening?
It was so weird. So previously in that year, it happened so fast. Previously in that year, I started putting some clips online. And I got a text from the guy that runs Don't Tell Comedies, or a DM. And he was like, hey, we're like filming some sets, starting to film some sets. Do you want to do a set? And it was out in LA. And I was like, sure. The ticket was astronomical to get out there. And I was like, I don't know if this means anything, but I'll do it. So I paid the ticket.
But how did the guys from Don't Tell find you?
I don't know. I put some clips online.
Put online?
I have no idea.
Really? You never asked them? Like,
I think he saw a clip I put online, like Silly Billy clip. Nothing. That's
amazing. And he contacted you through that?
Yeah. He DM'd me on Instagram.
See, those are the upsides of social media.
I know. But I think this is before the Don't Tell clips were getting traction, but it was, it wasn't what it was now. And so I did my set. I accidentally went into a bit that I didn't want to do. In the set, I said something about Kroger and it didn't get a reaction. And I was like, oh, I'm from the South.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have Kroger. And then I was like, I'm from the South. My parents are cousins. And I was like, that bit I did was one of the first bits I ever wrote. And I thought it was so hacky. But I was like, I just found myself like doing the bit during that recording. And I was like, hurry up, get it over with, move on. Because I was not planning on doing it. So I'm sorry. That was recorded, right? So they put some of my clips out. They put that clip out. My parents are cousins. They put it out on a Friday at 3 p.m. And I was like so embarrassed. I was like, other comics are going to see this and be like, she's hack. She's doing, which it is true. My parents distantly related. but she's hacked. Like, oh, she's from the South. She knew my parents were cousins. I was like, it's a Friday. No one's going to see it. It's fine. I hope it just blows away. It just nobody notices it. It blew up. And so I had like a couple different clips blow up from that set. And then immediately like I got started getting reached out to by managers and agents. Was told I was in the running for JFL. And then the second I didn't, I got found out I didn't get JFL. I called the managers that I wanted to go with. I say all this because I'm like, sometimes rejection is the best thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't get JFL. I was like, that's okay. So I called my manager or the people I wanted to. I was like, let's go for it. Maybe 2 weeks later, the people I signed with, he was at Fallon for another Pete Lee. Pete Lee was there. He was there with Pete Lee. He's talking to the booker of Fallon. Mm-hmm. And I told him one of my goals was, I was like, I'd love to do late night in a couple of years. As he's talking to him, the booker gets a call that the night that one of his other clients is on Fallon on the couch, the performing act, the band just dropped out. Somebody had COVID. So there's an opening spot. So they were calling me like, could you book a stand up there? And so my manager was like, I just signed with this girl. Could you consider her? He had no idea who I was.
Hmm.
And all that to say, had I gotten JFL, I wouldn't have like signed with management or anything. And so he like called me and he's like, can you send in a set? And then like 4 days later, it was booked. Fallon was booked. I mean, it was like, and then I was there 7 days after that.
Yeah.
In New York, filming it, taping. It happened like, I mean, it was like.
I know. So how long is the set for Fallon?
5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Oh, mine was 6.5. But, you know.
Did you have your, I mean, you had it? Like, that was it? People work forever. I mean, just get that.
So he called me on Thursday. He's like, can you get a set together? I was featuring in Chattanooga that weekend. I was like, yeah, let me tape something. That Saturday in Chattanooga, I did a set Friday. I was like, I'm not sure if that's it. I thought this was going to be like a weeks, months long thing.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, he calls me. He's like, can you just type up the transcript and send it to him? And I was like, oh, is this happening now? So I typed him up 2 different 5-minute transcripts. He emailed me back that night. As I'm about to go on stage in Chattanooga, and he's like, I like this bit, can't do this bit, can't do this bit because of this. I like this, gotta cut this. Tape these 3 bits, send it to me, let me know. As I'm walking on stage, I'm like, okay. So, like, do the set. I'm featuring for like a decent crowd, but nothing. He was like, fine, you know? And I send it to him, and Sunday he's like, fix this. I run, I like find somebody else, a show I can get on Sunday in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I tape it, and he sent it into the lawyers Monday. I'm nannying. And he's like, they've red flagged this. Can you rechange this ending? I'm changing the ending as I'm nannying. Like, I don't even know if it's funny. I'm just like, and I send it in, and they're like, approved. Your book. So that was Monday, and I was taping the following Wednesday. Not that Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, next week.
Were you shitting yourself before you went on stage?
I was like,
because it's your first TV appearance, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I was, and it was like, it was truly like, I was just laughing. Like, I think I tricked everyone. I shouldn't be here right now. You know, I was like, yeah. What just happened? Yeah, I think I know I get so much stage fright. I was just like, ground yourself. Don't psych yourself out.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and be like, there's cameras and there's lights. I was just like, you're doing a set. And like, just try to keep myself as centered as I possibly could. But I look nutso out there. But it's also like, I don't know, at least for me, it was like, he was like, okay, look up, you know, pause here, do this. So it's not, you're trying to follow within their format. So it's not like it's like it's your style, but within their
things.
Their things.
Did you have people, when you were doing your set on The Late Show, where people, did you see people being, you know, being like, look here, camera one, camera two, camera one? Were they doing that or just like,
they told me just to look up into the audience.
Got you.
So I'm like, yeah. And he was like, keep coming back to center. And so I just look like I'm dancing because I'd take a step and be like, back to center, take a step, back to center. I don't know. It was the most
so good.
Wild. I'd never done the cellar either. I got to practice my set at the cellar the night before.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
Okay. And they just were like, hey, you're going to be on late night. You want to come do a set at the cellar? Girl.
It was wild.
So what in the hell's happened ever since then? And we'll do our drawings. I mean, good God. From a year from being on the Tonight Show, you have a manager.
Yeah.
Probably an agent, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You've just moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You said 3 months ago?
Yes.
From Atlanta?
Yes.
So what are we doing? I know you're touring.
Touring. I know you're touring. We are recording another hour in Louisville in December.
I know, at the Louisville's Comedy.
Yes, have you done that club?
I have not.
Love it.
But so many people, I've heard nothing but amazing things.
Yeah.
And I know you had to be in Louisville when there was the Comedy Caravan, which before was the Laughing Derby.
Were you going up there a time?
Yes! Oh my God, I headlined there. Like, you did? For my whole family. Yes.
How was it?
It was amazing. But it's a shithole club. It smells like thoroughbred piss. Like, in.
No, it does.
It just does. Like, but that, I love that so much. And like, in the crowd, this is the thing about Louisville. I will always say they have amazing crowds.
Yeah.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
They're so fun. I'm like nervous because I'm going to want to, like when I was up there, I was like, there's my high school cross country coach and there's my sixth grade teacher. It's so fun. I know. It's so fun.
You did a show there not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you guys were in Lexington, right?
We were. I'll be with Jessica at
Comedy Off Broadway. I'll be there in 2 weeks.
Such a great club.
I love that club too.
Again, the crowds.
Yeah, they're down.
They're down.
They're down for Silly Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly. I don't know if you get scared of Yannette, you have an idea of how crowds are going to be in that particular region of the world. But, like, they're amazing. They're
so fun.
Very fun.
Down-to-earth people.
So you're filming your special there in front of your whole family.
Yep.
Your high school teacher.
Everybody that's ever known me since I was in diapers. And I just this year learned how to write on the road and how to tour, and I'm learning how to sell tickets, and I feel like the luckiest person in the whole wide world. Truly, I do.
How's it been trying to sell tickets? Because I have other friends, obviously, who tour, who have to sell, the pressure to sell tickets as a headliner, that sometimes the bookers are like, we're not selling enough tickets. You're like, well, God fucking fuck.
Sorry. we're not selling enough tickets in Boise, Idaho on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
In a state I've never been to. No way! and that meant a lot of a blizzard. We haven't sold a lot of tickets. I used to freak out about it, and then I had to chill out and be like, try your hardest, learn as you grow. I mean, I'm like, you know, putting content on, growing your audience, putting ads up, making a post about the show and everything else. And then at the end of the day, if it's not a great, if it doesn't sell well, you tried your best, and you can't beat yourself up about it. Sometimes it's just a process.
Yeah.
Not everybody was selling out from the get-go.
Rarely does anybody sell. But I would imagine, because you were just on Bert Kreischer's, I would imagine that you've gained a pretty good amount of following that would, if you're in their town, they would come see you, which is, that's the goal, right? Like, you just keep gaining.
I think so. Yeah, but it's wild. It's okay. I think, I don't know. I just got into it, but I feel like the game has changed because of social media. Yeah. And because I remember, like, I was in Atlanta for 8 years, and I was always working the Punchline. Did you ever do the Punchline in Atlanta? And like hosting and featuring for comics who have been on the road for a decade, and whatever, it's an early Saturday or a Sunday, and the show and it's a light audience, and but they've been doing this for years, and they would just show up and just, they'd post on their social media or whatever, like, I'm coming to Atlanta, but that was about it. And it was just about kind of more the club bringing them in. But I think the expectation has changed because there are people with social media I have everything to thank for it, but it's also like the pressure is higher because people have gained such a following so quickly, who are just now starting to tour and already selling out, that they're looking at everybody, which business is business, but they're looking at everybody like, well, sure, you've been doing this for a minute, but this person could sell out. so why aren't you doing the same kind of thing? Do you know what I mean? And so I don't know if, I feel like there's more pressure now than ever to compete with people with a big following who are easily selling out everywhere. It's a lot of pressure.
No shit. No, I know. I trust me. I mean, I had definitely have comedian friends that have, based on social media, have 200 plus thousand followers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talk to them and they're in a city and they're the pressure as a headliner to sell out.
Yeah.
To sell out, you know, because there's a bonus if you sell out. You know, there's it's a business.
And yes.
So, but there's also, like you said, you know, I've also heard that a ton, that there's like, you know, TikTok stars who are, you know, social media personas, personalities that don't do stand up, but they're now doing stand up or making appearances. And they, you know, it's just, yeah, it, whatever. I mean, it's all good. It just means that everybody has to like level up in some way. Like, whether
but,
it's.
Yeah. But I'm like, but I had to just tell myself, like, you can't. I was just like, do your best, and then if like they're not all gonna be, you're not gonna knock them all out of the park.
Yeah.
And I just go let it roll, it'll be okay. Because I used to be really upset about it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, just you'll grow, you'll build.
Have you had any like super bad like bombing as the headliner?
I mean, there's just like, you know, you've been to Buffalo, New York.
Say no more.
For 22 people who are just in there for shelter.
They're like, did we get free peanuts? You're like, no, motherfucker. They're like, would you buy 2 drinks? Yeah, we're like, there's like, a popcorn
we're,
free?
No, we're just in here hiding from our wives. Why is this lady still talking? We just want to drink.
You do a lot of crowd work, though, that I've seen, like, on your videos.
Yeah.
You do a lot of crowd work. And then, okay, so we're going to do our drawing.
Okay. Do I get to pick any color?
Yeah. Of course you do. Any color you want. And so, and while we draw, so then I'm going to ask, which I ask all of my guests, because the name of the podcast is Not Cool. And so, what would you say, Catherine, is the most not cool thing about you? I'm gonna draw you while you talk.
Not cool thing about me is that I am trying to not eat pigs or cows. I really feel like they have a soul, but I don't give a shit about birds.
So you eat chicken
or fish.
Okay.
Specifically chickens and turkeys. I think they don't have less as much of a soul.
Okay.
So I'm fine with eating them. So people like to argue with me about the cows and the pigs.
Okay.
And I'm like, they just feel like larger dogs.
Yeah.
But it's not, it doesn't make sense why I'm like, but turkeys and chickens are pretty dumb. And so I feel okay.
Okay.
Devouring them.
And when did you make this decision? I feel like you follow, like, they're on your Discovery page.
Yeah.
Like, every...
Yeah, I watched one too many cows playing with a beach ball.
Mm-hmm. That's how it happens.
And so, I've seen a few videos of, like, chickens cuddling with a dog, and I'm like, oh, you're getting me. But then I get hungry.
Yeah.
And I forget about those videos.
Chicken nuggets are delicious.
Yes. Yeah. But I just, I don't know. Even when you see a fish like kind of floundering outside the water, I don't feel as bad as I feel
the connect.
Yeah. As when you see somebody cuddling with a cow. So it's kind of controversial, my view. I'm a little wishy-washy on both sides. Do I get to draw you now?
So I'm like, you could still kill a good fish fry. Yeah, I did it. This looks nothing like you, so please don't be offended.
I love that.
Did you even?
That's exactly how many chins I see.
Okay. Your head also looks like a potato. And in real life, it doesn't look like a potato.
And those are my sunglasses.
Yeah, and you don't have that much space between the bridge of your nose and your eyes, and they're not that far apart.
No, I love it, but I'm just wondering here.
Because you know what that is?
Is that my
That's your upper
line?
Cheekbone, yeah. You have a nice, what's that thing called? When you have a nice, what is that thing
blush.
Called? not blush, but it's a bone, a cheekbone. You have a nice high cheekbone.
Oh, a Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, you're Kim Kardashian.
Oh, thank you so much. I do like my Kim Kardashians.
You're the Kentucky Kardashian.
Yeah. No, thank you.
You're welcome.
I am going to go call a plastic surgeon after this.
They're going to have a lot of filler to fill in all of, to make your head oval in the shape of a upside down pear.
I'm gonna order just new eyeballs. Oops, I wasn't supposed to look.
No, it's okay. There's honestly to God, no please. So while you're doing that, I like that not cool thing about you. That's fine. And I think a lot of people are on that journey of, because now Instagram has put I'll never eat a panda. I'll tell you that. I will not.
Well,
or a polar bear.
Well, who is?
Cute. They're
cute. I know, but who is?
Who, eating panda bears?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a big world, and there's a lot of underground black market shit that is happening out there that I don't even know about. That's the amazing thing. The craziest shit you can think about. Like, I used to think, like...
Does anybody peek?
Yeah, a lot of people. I have mostly guys stare the whole time at the thing. They refuse to follow a direction or listen, which is totally okay. I don't mean that to be a man-hating thing. It's just, I think, science?
Yeah.
Is that rude?
Okay. I don't want to touch this anymore.
Can I see it?
It's actually really good. I'm really proud of the lips.
Let's check.
No, I'm really, really proud of
it. Oh, why?
Wait, it's actually really good.
Why?
Oh, I love that. Nose.
I love it too.
I've never seen this more accurate depiction of you.
I love it too.
Should we?
That hair is...
No, because it's I love your hair. It's what I actually was going for.
You know, I tell you what. Yeah.
It's going... And then what I used to do in high school, I showed up to open house one day, which is where you would try and recruit girls to come.
Oh, my God. You actually worked that?
You're
such an overachiever.
What did I do? I braided it, and then I put the straightener to the braid.
Yeah.
And then took the rubber bands out and then hairsprayed it.
Hmm.
I think I was going for that look.
A crimp. But crimpy?
Yeah, but it did. It was white girl dreads.
Oh, no.
And they were like, Catherine, you're hurting our numbers if you work open house tonight.
I had a boss say that to me.
You're hurting our numbers?
She said, Sarah, I need you to go in the back. It was at Sweet Lady Jane Bakery. And it was Jane. And she said, Sarah, I need you to go in the back. I need you to take a hairbrush. I need you to brush your hair. Because your hair is making it look like I don't care about my business. What are we doing? What are we doing? And I thought it looked great. I was like, this is fucking bomb, bitch. I was like, this is beach hair. I am telling you, I've had people concerned about my, yeah.
What? Your hair's the coolest.
No, it's fine now. But but I'm trying to at least, you know, brush it and stuff and make it act like I put a style to it. But like, I've had so many jobs where I should have opted for a hairnet. Do you know what I mean? Just to avoid all of the conversation. She told me it made her look like she didn't care about her business.
No, you're trying to appeal to, all customers.
That's what I said. Be all inclusive. Even the homeless people want
to. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Such a...
We'll take anyone's money. Even those... Even if it's all your money.
So small. So small. I'll never... Sarah! I was like, oh, God.
Did it look like that?
What, my hair?
Yeah.
No, we've gotten better on smoothing it down, but it's still... But I used to wear it up, and it was like half in, half out. A private high school.
Right, half up, half down.
Yeah, but yeah. Not, I probably didn't look well. Do you know, I was much younger. I didn't really care much. And so professionalism at a minimum wage job, because I was always like minimum work for minimum wage.
Right, yeah. Well.
Like the minimal amount of effort. You're lucky I even showed up sober.
Right, right.
Is what I used to
right.
say.
Right. You go, you don't care about your business.
You don't. If you did, you'd be fucking helping me.
Yeah.
And giving me more money. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the look now, and I'm jealous. I really dig. It's here's your style.
There she goes. All right. Lay it down.
No, this is...
I love when you're going to say something big. You take a real deep breath, and then you give a stare.
Somehow...
She goes...
Somehow, your style is how if you gave a young kindergarten girl free reins to dress somebody, and you pull it off flawlessly.
Thank you, Catherine.
I mean that in the highest compliment.
I'm going to take that as, why would I take that as an insult? I'm still trying to get back to kindergarten base rules.
Yeah. This is like when I was in kindergarten, I was imagining what I looked like when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, muchos gracias, amigos. Thank you so much. I remember whenever I had to give myself a name in kindergarten when we played house, my name was always Emily Hart.
That sounds like a girl who got kidnapped.
I know. I just thought it seemed. I thought my husband Rich was gonna love it. Do you understand?
No, I know.
You get it.
Yeah.
Like, what's your name gonna be? My name's gonna be. You have to sign it.
Oh.
All right, Catherine. So listen.
Wait. What were you saying while I was drawing?
Oh, I've already forgotten that moment. Well, what do you want? Okay, so you're gonna be in Louisville. If you're in Louisville, which is our hometown, go see Catherine. What are the dates?
December 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. What do you have? Christmas presents to wrap?
Girl, I might be there.
Yes, for Christmas. Come get on stage. Yeah. Please.
I'll be there.
Please.
I'll be there for my family.
Please come.
But we do.
We'll bring Kelsey and Tanner, your cousins.
Those are my cousins, yeah.
Yeah. And also Lexington, August 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Jack Harlow's going to be there. Jennifer Lawrence is going to be there. Muhammad Ali is going to be there.
I have a bit I'm working on about Jennifer Lawrence.
Tom Cruise. Oh, Jennifer! I love Jennifer Lawrence, by the way. I know because I listened to your podcast on the Brit, but you have a story about Jennifer Lawrence.
But I'm not knocking her. It's nothing.
No one's knocking. Her family lives in Indian. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, her family. I have a friend who made my website way back in the day who made a website for Jennifer before she was fucking famous.
What would she need a freaking website?
Because she was going to be an actress.
Oh, right.
And she was a model and whatnot. Yeah. So. Anyway, so they're all going to be there. Colonel Sanders is going to be there. Every thoroughbred that is in the Kentucky Derby. Some of them won't be there because that was dark. I was going to go dark. And
I know.
Sorry.
It was a hard day. I was hating so it too.
Sorry. Okay, but before we end, Catherine's going to be a big star. I have intuition. I've called every big star that I've ever met. Swear to God, you are. I've called it. I've called every one of them.
Thank you.
Because you talk about this a lot, it's probably been a 2-hour podcast, but I could really talk to her for forever. Because you do, you pride yourself on being somewhat of like a horse girl.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't get over how good this is.
It is good. I feel like, okay, you can't have it actually. I'm going to put it on a t-shirt and bring it to your show in December.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to tell who
this is. Kind of looks like, what's his name? Freelander?
Jonah Freelander?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I was wondering who that was. It is. I'm going to take that to an esthetician and be like, get my lips even bigger like that. Please.
I really like it.
I want you to fill it with with jelly, grape jelly. And then the top almond butter because I want to make a mean sandwich if I'm out in the wild.
I'm full.
How amazing if they're just little pocket holders for like fucking at least make it useful. And put toothpaste in there when you're out in the jungle.
Oh, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Or just put chapstick in there.
That's what I'm talking about. Or like put a pouch for like coins, like your little coins. Okay, anywho. So
put money in your mouth.
Do you, because it's clean.
Yeah.
Do you have a funny or a story about Derby or Oaks Day? Or because if you grew up in Louisville, you have to have some sort of weird story about Derby or Oaks Day?
Yeah.
And drinking.
Yeah. Did I tell this one? I'm working on a bit with this too, but.
And then we'll go. I promise.
Did you porta potty race?
Porta potty race?
Yeah.
No, but I did get in a fist fight. In the infield.
Okay.
Everybody knows the infield, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see porta potty racing?
No.
Okay. No.
Can I preface this real quick?
Yeah.
But when we say infield, what we mean is there's a grandstands and then there's the infield. If you don't have money, you're in the infield.
Yeah, $35.
If you have money, you're in the fucking grandstands. And usually if you're in the infield when there's a horse race, you don't ever see a horse.
Never see a horse.
Never see a horse.
You never see, you forget about horse racing.
Yeah, it, you don't even know why you're there.
There's people in the infield or in the grandstands for horse racing, and then the people in the infield are there for a Kid Rock concert.
Yep.
110%.
That's why I got in a fight.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Did I get a fight with a lady? Did you get in a fist fight?
No, I didn't get a fist fight. I remember my parents wouldn't let me go till I was sophomore in high school, which I was like, guys, I'm so old. You let me go. And I remember I walked in to the, also, it's the first Saturday, May. It's always spring. It's almost always raining.
Raining.
And so I walk in and I look over and I see all, my friends are pulling out their flip phones in the circle, a bunch of dudes in circles in suits. And I'm like, why are they all have their phones on? And I look in the middle, there's a mud pit and there are women with the fanciest sundresses ripping them off and diving in the mud pit for men throwing 10, 20s, so $100 bills into the infield. These women have flown here from Idaho to go to a fancy and horse race, and they have one too many mint juleps, and they're ripping off their Kohl's dresses and diving into a mud pit for $50 bills. This is what I was like, oh, this is why my parents will let me come in here.
Yeah.
So I every year, blackout, right?
Yeah, every year.
My mom would teach me, she was a nurse, so you'd get the IV bags, and you'd put the IV bag full of vodka in your bra.
We would use Ziploc bags.
And smart, you put them in your cookie bra?
Yeah. You get the little, you put them under there. We knew how to take off the gallon tops of fruit juice.
Yes.
And then reseal the bitch. Yeah. Like
a little vodka cutlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would watch people do this. Porta potty racing, which is where my joke is, I'm like, you ask a nice man to help you up to the very top of one, and he does because you have a sundress on. And then so it was a line of porta potties, right? And then people would try and run across the top of them. Meanwhile, this is like how dumb and drunk everyone is. People are like, let's try and see if we can knock them off. Like it's a carnival game.
Yeah.
And so people are throwing like full-fledged beers at your head, and you're like, look at me. I mean, you could die in any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you made it to the end, then you won. You know Allie Bestin? Do you remember the Bestins?
No.
Just YouTube porta potty racing. You'll see this all over. And there's also, like, people are dressed up in the infield at the Kentucky Derby with, like, cut-off shorts.
Yeah.
And, like, tank tops on. Like, they're not dressed fancy.
What I wore. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So I remember my freshman year coming back from South Carolina, and I bring my roommate for derby, fancy derby. I'm like, it's a Kentucky tradition. You got a porta potty race. So we get up to the top. I run across. So you're at the top. I can see the cops like snaking through the crowd so I'm like, I gotta get down. She gets to the end. I forgot to tell her that it's illegal.
Yeah.
And so she's like celebrating. And so as she's like gets down, the cops are there. And I remember like trying to arrest her, and she's like, I'm a teen mom. It's my first night out. She's not. I was like, genius. And
teen mom, nice.
Yeah, it was like her first time out of the state, and I just got her arrested, and she went to the drunk tank. I know.
Nice.
I know. I picked her up from jail that night, and so then the next year, I remember I went, and they like straight up had if you see a Walgreens sign or a Dwayne Riyadh or whatever it's called out here, you know they put spikes in the letters to keep the birds from nesting? They have spikes on top of the porta potties because we are so fucking dumb. They have to treat us like
human pigeons off.
They have to treat the dumb humans off the top of the porta potties. And now that it's no more. It's so sad. It was a tradition.
Does the infield still happening?
Hell yes.
Oh, if you haven't been to Churchill Downs, are there Oaks? I would suggest going on Oaks Day. It's less insane, but I would 100% tell anybody to do the infield.
Yeah. It was 3 days though. There's Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Oaks Derby. I would do one fancy day and then one infield day.
Yeah, if you can afford to do a fancy. I've never been to the actual Derby.
One, yeah.
I can't believe that shit. Yeah.
Why would you?
I don't, but I'm just like, it was one of those things I always said every infield, like every fist fight. I was like, I one day I'm going to make $1 million and I'm going to sit in the grandstands and I'm not coming back to this bitch until I do. And I have a fucking hat. I'm getting a goddamn hat. And it's going
to have spikes coming out of my hat.
Goddamn fucking birds coming out of my hat. Yeah. It's going to have bird food and fucking a place for them to sit. And a fucking eagle on top. I am fucking going.
I'm gonna be Mother Eagle.
I am not kidding. I have my cousin Kinsey.
Yes.
She makes the hats. She makes the derby hats.
Why don't the you fasteners. Just have one?
Well, that's new.
Okay.
But
okay.
When I was saying it, I was thinking like fucking how they big. Used a big yeah. round and like clocking people if you like turn your
yeah. You know? And you're like, well, it's almost like you have a museum on top of your head. You're like, why did you get into a fist fight?
Because we were drinking.
Yeah.
You were in high school, Catherine.
Yeah.
It was really, we were drinking. We did all the same shit. We, you know, snuck in alcohol. We all got, and we were drunk before we got there.
It's the drunkest. The sun is beating on you.
Oh, it's so also fucking raining. Hot.
You're just drinking. It's lawless.
Yeah. It's a heart implosion waiting to happen and fucking just severe burns, 4-3 burns. No, I got in a fight and then we'll end on this. I swear. I've said that. It's a famous last word I say. It was, in a nutshell, we were really drunk. We drank before we got there. There was a girl in high school, I'll say her name, Kristen Slapikas.
Kristen
Slapikas. God damn it, Kristen. And she always hated me, and I don't know why. But we and Kyle Bacco, who was the other, like,
yeah.
class turkey, Kyle was really little. And Kyle, if you're listening, I still love you. So we were at the derby, and I was with this guy named Kevin, and I guess Kevin didn't like me either for some reason because I broke up with him like, I don't know, 3 years before. And
it's hard to move on.
It's hard to, I mean, come on. And so we were sitting there and all of a sudden I heard, fucking bitch. Yeah, you're a fucking bitch. And I was like, and I'm like not a fighter. I was like, yeah. She can't be talking about me, you know, like I, and then I like turned my head and she's like, yeah, you fucking bitch. You know that. And Kyle, Kyle was mouthy because she was little.
Yeah.
And so she's like, yo, Highland, she's calling you a fucking bitch. Dude. She's calling you a bitch. You know, so like the little one's always like, yo, what you gonna do? Highland, yeah. You know, and of course I'm like, oh, shit.
You're like mom spaghetti. It's
yeah. Time. I'm like, why are you calling me a bitch? So I turn around. I was like, you talking to me? And like, she's like, yeah, you fuck. And she just kept going at it. I was like, oh, shit. Well, let's go, you know, and just drunk sloppy fighting. So I'm like shoof, like air fucking like
limp wrist
like in a dream when you can't yeah. hit
you're like,
and then Kyle's like yeah Highland yeah get like running in between us you know because she's this big
yeah
she's like yeah fucking whoa. Get Highland and then all of a sudden my friend Maria Bowman gets behind Kristen and she gets up on a cooler
spider monkey that bitch
with a fucking long neck beer fucking hits her of course everybody's drunk so it didn't smash it like slid off her head. Everybody's weak fucking whiskey wristed, you know.
Yeah.
And so she hits her and then Kristen comes after my shirt and she rips my fucking shirt off. I'll never forget it. It was red. And so and she pulled my ponytail. And so finally, I don't remember how it like broke. I mean, it was messy. Like it wasn't like a clean like wow and she's like TKO'd. It
but was just, it's like her against four of you.
Yeah, because they're all, it was Kyle, Maria, me, and I'm sure there
just,
was...
Also just the whitest Catholic schoolgirl names.
Oh, I mean, you Sarah, know the deal.
Maria. Against Amanda. Versus Amanda.
I'll never forget it. And I was so shit-faced. I was stumbling around the infield. And I remember people would come up to be like, oh, damn, girl, you from Portland? Are you from Portland?
Why
oh,
Portland? Shit.
Portland, Kentucky.
Oh.
Because it's right by Louisville. It's in Louisville. Portland is a neighborhood. Girl, never Portland is a neighborhood in Louisville that is not good. It's not good. Especially back in that time, it was not good. It was you don't want to go to Portland.
I never even heard of it.
Yeah, so I was like, white trash Portland.
St. Matthews.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that tracks.
All yeah. Right.
So that's... St. Matthews.
I like that that's a diss that no one knows about. Oh.
These are all inside
Oh, jokes. A St. Matthews diss. Regional.
Like my dad lives in St. Matthews. Let's calm down. Yeah, yeah. I get it. Don't worry. Yeah, you know. Right by the malls. It's okay. So yeah, so that was really it. And that fight between Kristen and I carried on for, because I kept seeing her at house parties. Like after volleyball fucking state championship, we'd go and get shit-faced. And there's Kristen Slapikas like staring me down. I was like, this bitch is going to kill me. Like,
yeah, but it gave you life though.
It did.
It gave you, this is weird, but the fights and the dramas in high school was your life purpose at that time. It really gave you a purpose to be alive.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
All of it.
It was kind of fun.
Kind of. It was great. It was fun. I remember people getting alcohol poisoning back at football games. They were like, being taken out on stretchers. I was like, oh, damn, Amber did too much.
It was like your Real Housewives episode. You're like, damn.
It was drama as fuck. Yeah. It was good. It's so fun. I don't know. I swear everybody in my friend group either had like a severe blackout because they took too many antidepressants and like ice house beer, or they like alcohol poisoning. Like it's so, I just can't, I don't want to go back to high school, but God, I miss the drama. Like I wanted them to do a reality show. Speaking of, like we're in LA. I want them to go do a reality show of like, pick Louisville. That's fine.
Just, it was like
of high schoolers.
So much drama for nothing, which is the best part about it.
For nothing.
People get pissed off at people for making out. You freaking made out with my boyfriend. I'm like, dude, I make out with my dad.
Kentucky, am I right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I have a few incest jokes myself. Don't sweat it. It's, you know what? It's a crowd pleaser. Is it hacky? I don't know, but a lot of my shit's true, too. So what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
I was somewhere like this. This is how my dad's brothers are his cousins. Because I had a grandpa that married, had three kids. Wife died, baby died, so he married her little sister. Mm-hmm. They were 19 years apart, so and then they had 8 more kids. So like they love to tell the story, but, like that is just immediate family where, like, it'd be like your dad marrying like your mom's little sister.
Okay,
and like and that was like nobody even blinked an eye at it because it was so normal back then, and like. I don't know. It just was small town. Everybody was a little bit related, and there was no one else around. So it's not hacky if it's.
You don't have to sell me, Catherine.
Can I put blonde highlights in
you
there?
You can do whatever you want, my love. You don't have to sell me. I listen. If it's true, just it's going to be hard for people to stomach. I found with my own incest jokes, people are a little concerned, but we get past it. Because it's the dark truth and everybody needs to talk about it.
Thank you.
So, Catherine, where can people see you on your way to stardom and find you?
At It's Catherine Blanford on Instagram, and all the other ones are fine too. But just go to the gram. That's really what I do it for. All the other ones are just kickbacks.
You're a kickback.
Yeah, I am.
And I know what that means.
I can do a kickback.
I can do a kickflip. I can kickstand my bike. So
I'll ride on your pegs.
Pegs. Don't pegs even was, get me yeah. back into we pegs. I don't. Pegs. I can't, summer. Or I'll go off on a different tangent. Pegs and the things that were on your wheel that when you rode your bike.
The beads?
Yeah, the beads. Yeah, or if you're really poor, you put a card in it.
Yeah. That's like Sandlot shit. Yeah, I don't remember that. And then
can
your dad
go
be like,
back to 92?
Where's the seven of hearts? And you're like,
to my bike, dad.
Yeah.
I don't know why they talk like that.
Hey, dad, I'm in a bike gang.
Anyway, I love you, Catherine Blanford. Thank you so much for coming here. I could literally talk to you forever. If you're in Louisville in December, please go see her. I'll be there. I'm coming.
Please
I'll be there.
Please come on all any show you want to.
I'll be there. I'm actually, yeah. Anyway, it's a great new club in Louisville. They're killing it. It's downtown, I think, on Main. But if not, go see Catherine on social media. She has all of her tour dates. She's going to be a massive. She already is a star.
Thanks,
but
dog.
Even more.
Appreciate
Thanks
you.
Thanks for coming. Go ahead.
No, just you know, do it.
Smooth.
Just do it, y'all.
Such so gangy.
Peg game out.
Hey everybody, you want more Not Cool? Then go to Instagram and subscribe to Not Cool Pod. And or on my own personal page, which is Sarah Hyland Rosenstein.